This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Murray, joined as always on Mondays by the one and only Adam Burke, who's been a busy man putting together our VSiN College Football Playoff Betting Guide, available over at VSiN.com, as well as the Bowl Guide. We're going to dive into a whole bunch of things here on this podcast. Army and Navy puts a conclusion to the regular season, and about an hour later, we start the bowl season. So just like that, no rest for the weary. Army covers, Navy gets the win, another under for those of you wondering in the Army-Navy game. I was on the tailgate show, Adam, on Saturday, and I'm like, man, I kind of like Army. I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's go Eli Heidenreich anytime touchdown. And thanks to a fumble on a tush push failure, they throw a touchdown pass to Mr. Heidenreich on fourth and goal. So well done, Navy. 17-16 final score. Always a fun game to watch. And two teams that we will discuss a little bit later on in the podcast that have been heavily moving in the bowl betting market.
Yeah, so, first of all, service academies, it's a little bit difficult to transfer out of there, so...
Not impossible.
Not impossible, but very, very difficult to do, so, you know, that definitely helps their cause, and of course, we know they're going to be disciplined, we know they're going to be prepared for their bowl games. Army-Navy was a lot of fun. I watched it with Stormy Bonantoni and her husband, Chris, down there at Circa, so hung out, watched that game with them, and, also got to check out a little bit of FCS playoff action as well, which... You know, Montana looks really, really good for what
Brawl
it's worth.
In the Wild Part 2.
Yeah, right? Yeah, looking forward to that. It's just, this time of the year is, outside of the college football playoff, it's a race to news. That's all it is. You know, trying to jump on news, trying to jump on these transfer portal announcements as quickly as you possibly can, trying to keep up on where all the coaches are going. It's a full-time job trying to stay on top of these bowl games, that's for sure.
A loyal VSiN listener, Rusty Smith, who's a big ECU guy, sent me and Matt Eumanns a tweet this morning on Monday morning giving us the news that Hauser was going to be out. Caden Hauser, the former Michigan State quarterback, he is going to be hitting the transfer portal. So I went and quickly took a little money line slice on on Pitt before that line ballooned up. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. It is a race to news. There's a guessing game to this. You know, it's not like it used to be, which was motivation. And I still think motivation is still worth being discussed for certain teams, no doubt. But you're right. And we're going to discuss a bowl game that we've mentioned before that I do think the number... You're betting on news to potentially come, which is always a tricky thing. And I think, dip your toe a little bit in there. But I think there is one bowl game, in my opinion, that is still worth a look. Just a reminder, continue to rate, review, and subscribe. Every episode is up on YouTube. Just a little programming note. Normal week, we will have three podcasts this week. Christmas week's a little funky. I've got some traveling with bowl games and whatnot. So Adam and I will be doing a podcast on the 23rd. So late on the 23rd, should get it in your feed on Christmas Eve. And then after the 27th, so we got a plethora of bowl games then, we'll have a normal week, New Year's week with the quarterfinals and whatnot. So appreciate all of you. You should have seen the looks, Adam, that I was getting at the post office the other day as I was mailing out all of the swag. There were about like eight people behind me in line, and when I left, there was about 30. So I don't think they were very happy with the College Football Betting Podcast, but hopefully everyone who won the swag is going to receive that in ample time.
I mean, you need to just hand out business cards with a link to the College Football Betting Podcast and just, convert people, kind of get them on our side a little bit. And by the way, speaking of the post office, I got to go get stamps today so we can mail out all of our Christmas cards, and I am not looking forward to that.
Godspeed.
Why isn't there an express line if you just want stamps and you're not mailing 87 things around the world?
Like, you're not sitting behind a guy trying to mail out swag to podcast listeners. So,
like, I remember they used to have a stamp machine and you just like a vending machine and you just go be able to, punch in the number, get your stamps, leave.
If you have any advice for Adam on how to get stamps a little bit quicker, give him a shout. I did go to the, there was like a Postal Express place in my neighborhood by the grocery store. I walked right in. I said, hey, do you have stamps? He said, yeah, here you go. I said, all right, giddy up, walking out.
All right, there we go. I think there's one of those by me too. So maybe I'll figure that out.
I would venture there first before embarking onto the post office, which we appreciate all of your hard work over at the post office. The lady who I was there, I could sense the frustration, but she kept it inside. So I appreciate it for all of our listeners, and hopefully the swag gets to you in ample time. But, you know, a whole lot to get to here on the podcast. Let's start with the playoff. Obviously, we talked a lot about it last week. It's been a unique spot in the calendar where, you know, we had these games set up last Sunday. Nothing happens this week. There's no opt-outs or anything like that. A little bit of the Kalen DeBoer flirtation maybe with Michigan. He's quieted that down with a statement. So the Friday night game, Oklahoma and Alabama, we've seen a little bit of line movement towards Alabama here. And, you know, it's funny because as the weeks go on, sometimes you like bets more. Sometimes you don't like bets as much. Alabama was a quick bet for me. I bet them on the pick'em, you know, earlier in the betting process. I'm not going to bet off of it, but it's one of those games where I'm like, you know, did Alabama miss their chance a month ago, right? As much as I continue to talk about how much they dominated that first game, Adam, and didn't get the victory, did they squander their opportunity to beat Oklahoma? And now you're going to get a better Oklahoma squad. R. Mason Thomas, you would imagine he's going to be back on that defensive line. John Mateer, you would think with 3 weeks off, he's going to be a little bit healthier, probably the healthiest he's been since he had that thumb surgery. So I'm a little bit wishy-washy here, still going to ride with the tide, but, you know, this is one, and I'll say this last point too, you know, the awards were handed out over the weekend, obviously Heisman and all the other awards, and we talk about our guy Kansei Matsuzawa, the Tokyo Toe, who we'll mention here a little bit later, but Tate Sundell won the Groza Award. The dude is an absolute monster. In a game that is expected to be this close with a low total, how much does special teams come into play, and how much of a boom is that for Boomer Sooner?
Yeah, I think it's a really fair point. It's an excellent point, and something that, you know, you're probably not going to hear about on a lot of shows or a lot of breakdowns about that game where, yeah, I mean, we're talking about, you know, essentially an NFL level total here, you know, 40, 40 and a half in that range, where, you know, having a kicker in college football who can actually be accurate is a really, really big deal. So that's definitely something that I think could factor into the equation here for Oklahoma. I mean, the health of both quarterbacks, really. You know, Ty Simpson has not looked healthy late in the season, and there's some stuff swirling around social media. Nothing's been confirmed yet, but that maybe he got hurt in the Auburn game, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, look, to me, you could, honestly, you could flip a coin on this game. You know, I mean, I think that there's
an argument. Saying that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's an argument to be made for both sides in this game where, you know, I've kind of made the argument here lately that, you know, much like Ohio State with Will Howard last year in the college football playoff, like there were more designed runs. It wasn't just him running because things had kind of fallen apart or, you know, to escape a coverage sack, something like that. They were much more deliberate with how they used him in the running game, particularly in the game against Notre Dame, the championship game. So is Mateer kind of used more in that way here, you know, as opposed to during the regular season, you just want to keep him intact, keep him healthy. But now it's win or go home, right? So you kind of have to put all the cards on the table and kind of pull out some more designed runs. I know he still runs at a fairly high volume, but, you know, just different looks in the running game for him. And like you said, I mean, Alabama dominated that first game from a box score standpoint, but had the three turnovers in the pick six, and that was the difference in the game. Something like that could very well happen in this one, too.
Well, and I think home field, too. You know, we've talked so much, I think, over the years, especially in the NFL, how home field is not what it once was. Well, a Friday night playoff game is going to be one of the best atmospheres in college football this year. I think the atmosphere in Norman is going to be unbelievable on Friday night. Now, how much does that play in? Is Alabama quiet the crowd quickly? These are all questions that I think are fair, but, you know, it's worth noting. And granted, all four of the home teams were, you know, decent sized favorites a year ago, but home teams a year ago, 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread, pretty much dominant in every single one of those games. I don't anticipate a dominant performance by Oklahoma or even Texas A&M for that matter against Miami. But yeah, I do wonder how much home field plays into it. I just looked it up real quickly. Tate Sendell, 23 of 24 this year. 7 for 7 from 50 plus yards. I mean, that is just, I mean, you saw Brandon Aubrey for the Cowboys actually look human on Sunday night, which was rare, but this dude has been absolute nails from a kicking standpoint. And then you look at what Alabama's had, and their kicker is 13 of 20, missed 3 from between 40 and 49, didn't hit a 50 yarder. He was, you know, 3 of 5 from 20 to 29. So very shaky at the kicking position. So just something to keep in mind. Once again, I still bet on Alabama. I'm still on that Crimson Tide side. But as we've gone on and kind of started to talk about these games a little bit more, and that happens a lot, Adam, right, where you're talking about the same game for, you know, what will be 2 weeks, essentially, come Friday night, you kind of turn yourself into knots a little bit. But you know, for me, I still like Alabama a little bit, but maybe not as much as I initially liked them. So we'll see. Will they be able to run the ball with Jam Miller? Is he going to be healthy? You know, there's so many questions. Is Ryan Williams going to show up for this game? I mean, the Ryan Williams disappearance has become just one of the more stunning things in college football, because you think back to heading into this year, it was Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams. These two guys are the best 1-2 punch outside of Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. And Ryan Williams has been missing in action really the last like month of football.
Yeah. And especially, you know, that was something that I really liked with Kalen DeBoer going to Tuscaloosa. You know, Kalen DeBoer is such a brilliant offensive mind that I thought, all right, well, this is going to be a lot of fun. And I mean, it's not to say that Alabama hasn't been good on offense or that Ty Simpson hasn't played well, but yeah, I mean, you know, his big guy needs to be a big guy here. Now, when you get to this point in the season. And so we'll see if that happens. You know, fortunately the weather looks pretty good. Yeah. It's going to be temperature around 50 or so. So it's not going to be super cold, which was definitely a possibility given a lot of the cold weather we've seen across the country here over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, at least there's that, right? I'm glad that it's not a game where it's going to be like in the 20s and, you know, maybe weather kind of decides it and all of that. I mean, it's just, it's a game where, you know, especially because of the nature of it, where we have a data point from the regular season, we have a very tight spread here to the point that you made, like overanalysis or paralysis by overanalysis in a game like this, where, you know, again, I think it's just a coin flip and it's as simple as that. And you know, you can definitely bet yourself into knots or talk yourself into knots with any of these games, but especially the college football playoff ones.
Yeah, it could be one of those situations, too, as we get closer to the game. Maybe I look at him a tier over rushing yard. And if, you know, he still goes over, Alabama wins, you could kind of thread the needle, so to speak, on that. You know, I will say this, Adam, as excited as I am for Friday night, just from an atmosphere standpoint, you've got two blue blood programs going head to head down there in Oklahoma. To me, the best game of the first round is Texas A&M and Miami. I think you could have fireworks here if Miami plays to their capabilities and their coach or quarterback don't mess it up. I think they absolutely could win this game and could be a really fascinating second round matchup against Ohio State. And then Texas A&M, you know, who is Texas A&M, right? Is it fair to question this team based off of their schedule when you think about they really got fortunate with some of the SEC teams that they played this year? You know, that started to come out, right? They had the win against Notre Dame, which, give them credit, the bounces went their way. But you look at the teams they played in conference. They played Arkansas. They played South Carolina, which they needed a miracle comeback. They played, you know, Mississippi State, Auburn, Florida. They played all the bottom feeders, and they didn't play Ole Miss. They didn't play Georgia. They didn't play Alabama. So is it fair to look at the schedule now and say, man, the hardest team they played was Texas in the regular season finale, and they lost that game?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think it's definitely fair. You know, I mean, that's something with Texas A&M that, you know, I think we kind of started talking about more and more as the season went along, that, you know, they were able to avoid a lot of the better teams in the SEC. That being said, I mean,
Miami played in the ACC.
Right, exactly. That's really all you need to say about that. So,
and lost two games in the ACC.
Right, yeah. And you know what? Like, something I was kind of looking at here, trying to look through while you were talking. You know, Texas A&M led the nation. They had 41 sacks. Well, they were tied for the lead in the nation with Oklahoma. Miami had 34 sacks in their 12 games, tied for 17th. And then I started going through and looking at, okay, like, you know, where did the other teams in the ACC rank in terms of sacks? Well, SMU also had 34. Miami lost that game. Carson Beck threw two interceptions. Didn't play Clemson, who had 33. North Carolina had 32. Didn't play them. Didn't play Virginia, who had 31. So I'm really curious to see how Miami's offensive line holds up here against Texas A&M. And I think that's the difference in the game here, that Marcel Reed is a much more mobile quarterback than Carson Beck is. I mean, Marcel Reed, over 5 yards a carry, 89 carries, 466 yards. He can maybe get away from the rush a little bit better than Carson Beck can. And I think that's the difference in the game for me, where Miami played one team that was in the upper echelon in sacks, and that was the game against SMU, and they lost. And they didn't even give up a sack in that game. But Beck did have to make some throws under duress, and we kind of saw what happened there. So in a game where the defenses are the story, where the defensive lines in particular are the story, I think the fact that Reed can evade the pass rush a little bit better, probably something that does help Texas A&M to the win. And I think the cover, I have Texas A&M 5.5 in this game. This is the only one I'm really off of market on for the playoff, at least for the first round. So I do like Texas A&M. I did play Texas A&M, you know, at the -3.5, and still a three out here in Vegas at Circa, you know, paying a little bit of extra juice. But I just think that Marcel Reed's running ability is the true X factor in a game where these two teams have a lot of similarities.
That's why I play the under. You know, I love, you know, the Miami defensive line when you think at early portion of the year or the end of the season. And granted, the Pittsburgh offensive line, you know, when they played Notre Dame, when they played Miami, you were like, whoa, this offensive line is not very good. And we even saw it against some of the lesser opponents in the ACC when they were, you know, getting a lot of penetration on Pitt. So I love the trenches in this game. And that's why I do think ultimately you're starting to see a little bit of under money come into the market. Some of those hooks are getting scooped up. 51 is a key number in totals in college football. So I played under in this game. Haven't played a side yet with lean Miami, but no real strong conviction there on that particular side. Because, you know, when you're playing a total, when you're playing an under, Adam, you know this as well as anybody. You know, turnovers could obviously be the undoing of that. Does Carson Beck make a big mistake? You know, that's certainly a big concern here. But, you know, I'm really pumped to watch this game this Saturday down in College Station. Another great atmosphere, no doubt, between Miami and Texas A&M. So I played under. I'm going to play into just the defense is kind of shining a little bit. Maybe first half under two would be a look, you know, kind of get that feeling out process a little bit as well.
Early kickoff too, 11 a.m. local time.
Yeah, so I think as of right now I have 51.5. Maybe I'll add a little bit to the first half under as well. Adam, when you look at the other two games, you're a guy that focuses a lot on your daily write-ups on VSiN on the G5. You've got two G5 teams taking on P4 squads. We got a rematch of Tulane and Ole Miss, the unique situation of Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin leaving, but a lot of the staff still hanging out for the game. And then on the flip side, John Summerall, he's leaving too, but obviously is, you know, sticking around for the game. Same could be said for James Madison's Bob Chesney's going to UCLA. We'll start with Tulane and Ole Miss. Any thoughts on this one, as we've seen the number kind of hang around 17.5 is where we're at for this one.
Yeah, 16.5 is the number I have here. So pretty much on market. In fact, some shops did open 16.5 and kind of got bet up slightly here. Again, due in large part to the fact that we've already seen this game and it was basically a no contest, right? I mean, Ole Miss dominated that game from start to finish. Jake Retzlaff wasn't able to throw the football. Found some success running it, but wasn't really able to throw the football. You know, look, I mean, I do think in both of these games here, and I think this was something that negatively impacted Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game against Indiana. They didn't look the same on offense. They weren't as aggressive. They didn't do a lot of the things that they had success with during the regular season. And Brian Hartline was very distracted, you know, in the lead up to that game, getting introduced as the South Florida head coach, you know, going all the way down there to Tampa, trying to work on flights and come back and, you know, have time to still do things for Ohio State. And I think it did actively hurt the Buckeyes with their offensive game plan in that one. For Mississippi, the fact that they have their defensive coordinator and that he's the head coach now, I think defensively they'll be just fine. But I do wonder offensively, will they be as explosive? Will they be kind of that team that we saw throughout the course of the regular season and the team that we saw in this game, which was what, Trinidad Chambliss' second start?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something I would worry about here. I'm kind of starting to maybe talk myself into the under a little bit. I do think I'll wait on it because I don't think there's any reason to jump in there and bet it right now. But, I mean, I could see Ole Miss playing really well defensively in this game with Golding, with the fact that, you know, they're just the better team in the trenches, the much more talented team, the deeper team, of course, as the odds board lights up with under money. So perfect timing on that.
Piped into the podcast.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, that's kind of the way that I was thinking, and it seems like maybe I'm not the only one who's thinking that way.
Yeah, then we get the night game. As mentioned, our colleague Stormy Bonatoni will be there. Super pumped for her to get a playoff game, so she'll be on. That game will be on TNT and HBO Max, but I continue to circle back to I think Oregon blows them out, and it's not a knock on James Madison and whether or not they belong in. I've stated my case. It's not their fault. The ACC is run by a bunch of morons. You know, they didn't do anything wrong. They went 12-1. They won their conference, but it's just punching up, and, you know, we'll see how it plays out. You know, maybe I'll look like a dope and that wouldn't be the first time, but I really think Oregon is going to want to prove a point here. And, you know, maybe you look at Brad Powers, our buddy, was on primetime Thursday night, Adam, and he said at 21.5, maybe you look at Oregon team total over 35.5 as opposed to laying the chalk, just in case, you know, foot comes off the gas a little bit. James Madison tries to score late in the game. Certainly is possible. Maybe I'll look that way as well. But when it was 21, which was out there for a couple of days, I laid the chalk with Oregon. I look at Dan Lanning. Another great atmosphere. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, incredibly geeked up there. And I think this team, I've kind of come around, Adam, on, I think this team may be a little bit underrated, you know, for how they've played this year. And that quarterfinal game against Texas Tech is going to be unbelievable. And I really believe the winner of that game, and this isn't me trying to be anti-Indiana, but I think the winner of that game is going to give Indiana a real run for their money in the semifinals. So I like Oregon here. I think they win big. I know it's at 21.5, which makes people uncomfortable to lay that type of number. But yeah, I have a hard time getting that Sun Belt championship game out of my mind. And I think Oregon is just going to be buttoned up, utilizing their athletes and trying to make James Madison's life a living hell on Saturday night.
Well, it certainly seems like the market thinks it will be tough for James Madison because the odds screen is really lighting up here today. Again, as we're recording now, some under money coming in on this game. Some pretty significant under money at that, driving it down to about as low as 48.5 now as we're talking. So, look, we've talked about this point before, and I think this point rings very, very true. Oregon's a great bully. Dan Lanning is a great bully. You know, when they step up in class and they play some games, they either play them very, very tight or they wind up losing them, you know, as they did in their game against Indiana, as they did in the rematch against Ohio State, probably should have lost the regular season game too. But they're really good when they're clearly the better team. Now, again, I do have some concerns here with both of these coordinators being distracted.
Sure.
You know, you've got Tosh Lupoy taking the job at Cal. You got Will Stein taking the job at Kentucky. So those things are both, you know, concerns for me here, because is this the Dan Lanning, Ryan Day thing that I talked about earlier, where, you know, Ryan Day just, it was very conservative. It was stupidly conservative in that game against Indiana. I don't think Dan Lanning has the same personality type as Ryan Day. I think he'll be happy to go out there and run it up, but it is at least a concern and something that, look, is frankly, I mean, it's something to consider in more bowl games than not, and, you know, especially here in the playoff with the coordinators, you know, getting hired. Because, again, once you have success, like, your people get offered things. And so that's, you know, kind of what we have here in this game with both the coordinators for Oregon.
Yeah. By the way,
and obviously Bob Chesney, too.
The board continues to light up in a lot of these bowl games. We're going to get to that. It's look, the bowl season, you got to be quick on some of these games. But speaking of the bowl season, this will be my fifth season as part of Bowl Season Radio. And if you're looking forward to listening to some live play-by-play on the radio, well, Coca-Cola Bowl Season Radio's got you covered. They'll have the national call for 20 bowl games. All those games will be heard on SiriusXM, the Varsity app, TuneIn, and radio stations across the country, including in some of the biggest markets like L.A., Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Las Vegas, Orlando, D.C., San Francisco, Denver. This week, handful of games on the radio. Salute to Veterans Bowl. That game will be on Tuesday night on SiriusXM 203. That's Troy versus Jacksonville State. They've got a doubleheader on Wednesday starting at 5 p.m. The Cure Bowl, which will be heard on SiriusXM Channel 84. The 68 Ventures Bowl will follow that. The Xbox Bowl on Thursday night, which is Missouri State versus Arkansas State. That'll be heard on SiriusXM Channel 84 as well. And then a doubleheader leading into the college football playoff starting at 11 a.m., the Myrtle Beach Bowl and the Gasparilla Bowl. Those games both can be heard on SiriusXM Channel 201. So Bowl Season Radio, if you want to listen to 20 bowl games this year, proud to be partnered up with Bowl Season Radio here during this bowl season. All right, let's take a quick break, Adam. When we come back, as mentioned, we've got opt-outs to talk about. We've got line moves galore. And just try to make sense of some of these early bowl games and if there are some bets to be made. So we'll take a quick break. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. All right, we're back. It is the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It's a Monday morning, busy day on the board. A lot of movement here. The Fenway Bowl continues to make me laugh. We will dive into that and all the movement and some previews of this week's bowl games. And speaking of previews of bowl games, Adam Burke, where can we get bowl previews?
Well, you can get them over at vsin.com. We're doing 72 hours lead time in advance of the game, but maybe that was a little bit too optimistic on my part because getting a lot of news here within 48 hours of some of these bowl games. So we'll see if we decide to pivot with that going forward. But yeah, we're previewing every bowl over at vsin.com. Also, our college football playoff betting guide. You can buy it a la carte. It's a standalone offering if you want it, $14.99. Maybe you don't want another subscription. I know we all have 900 subscription services now. Maybe you don't want another one, but you want that college football playoff guide. Well, you can buy it as a standalone thing over at vsin.com/subscribe. So go check that out, vsin.com/CFP, if you want to go right to the landing page for the guide. Holiday special is going on, $79 from now through May 1st. All access pass to everything that we do. It's a busy time, man. It's a busy time with the holidays. We're looking to finish the year out strong. It's been a very good year for us here at VSiN. So, you know, support the hard work that we do, whether it's subscribing to this podcast, subscribing to VSiN.com, or just getting that college football playoff betting guide.
Well, and a shout out to our friends who have been part of this podcast all year long, Rainbow Authentics. As mentioned, they were kind enough to give us some swag to send to you guys, the Timmy Chang signed helmet, the shirts, the hats. Well, they've got some new gear with Kansei Matsuzawa, the first-team All-American, Walter Camp, first-team All-American. Didn't win the Groza Award, but still a first-team All-American. Maybe the best nickname in all of college sports. You've seen the kicks. You've felt the injury. You felt the energy, not the injury. Excuse me. Slip there. Now it's time to wear it with the official Tokyo Toe gear inspired by the Lou Groza finalist Kansei Matsuzawa. From bold tees to clean hoodies, every piece brings that same focus and drive Kansei shows on the field. Show your pride, show your passion, only at TokyoToe.com. That's TokyoToe.com. Gear up and own the moment. And of course, we heard from Timmy Chang last week on the podcast. If you missed it, guess what? It's up there on our YouTube page and in the most recent episode as well. So Hawaii taking on Cal should be a fun one out there on Christmas Eve. But let's get to some of the line moves we're seeing here early today. And before we dive into the games this week, let's hit on a couple of big newsy items regarding bowl games. And let's start with the Liberty Bowl. When in doubt, betting on a service academy is a profitable endeavor in the bowl season. And at one point in time, Adam, you could have got Navy at a 6.5-point underdog against Cincinnati. They are now a 6.5-point favorite. And one of the big reasons why that number has run so much on Monday morning, Pete Thamel reported Brendan Sorsby is hitting the transfer portal and will not play in the bowl game for the Bearcats.
Yeah, you know, and Sorsby's also going to check and see, you know, kind of get a feel for where he might be drafted. So I know he's going to kind of keep an eye on that, too. Look, threw for 2,800 yards, 27 touchdown passes, ran for 580. This is a dude who means a lot to that Bearcats team. And, you know, usually if you get a starting quarterback opt out, you know, something like this, especially if he doesn't go to the NFL draft and he's just going to a different team, some other players will follow. So we'll see. This may not be it for Cincinnati here, but Sorsby, I mean, you know what? You talk about trying to pin down the value of a starting quarterback. He's a touchdown or more to this team. And I realize that, you know, with him saying he's going into the portal well in advance of the bowl game, you know, at least Cincinnati has some time to, you know, run the backup with the number ones and all of that. But still, just a massive, massive opt-out here that that broke today, actually, on his own Instagram.
You know, I'm not the biggest proponent of doing parlays and whatnot because you get yourself into some trouble, obviously. You need both legs to hit. But these numbers have run so much. A Army-Navy moneyline parlay, which is around like minus 110, may not be the worst thing in the world, just saying, as that number for Army continues to run. But you know that Blake Horvath and company, I don't know what is going on outside my house right now. You got some crazy stuff happening right now, so hopefully it's not too loud on the podcast. But yeah, that number is not the 6.5. You mentioned the Army game, Army and UConn off the air. I discussed this and actually wrote it up for the guide. So if you're getting the guide now, unfortunately, minus 140 on Army, not available anymore. I wrote it up and then like a day later, that number rose like crazy. But, you know, you look at that UConn game. It's so funny how different a year can make for a bowl game. Last year, UConn, Adam, was a bet on team in the bowl season because, you know, an opportunity against a Power Four team in North Carolina. A lot of these pieces were going to be returning. Now, Jim Mora Jr., he's gone. He's going to Colorado State. Skylar Bell is a legit pro prospect. Cam Edwards is in the portal. And then apparently there are reports. I don't know if it's been confirmed, but there are reports that their quarterback, Joe Fagnano, might be opting out of this bowl game as well. And you have to face a triple option in a bowl game that you played in a year ago.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? you know, look, here's the thing, though, right? I mean, with a team like Army, you know is going to play a condensed game, right? There's not going to be a lot of possessions in this game because that's just how Army does it. They're not nearly as explosive as Navy. So at some point, like, there has to be a buyback point on UConn, right? Like, I don't know what that is necessarily, you know, but with Army out to an 8.5-point favorite now, totals coming down a little bit, you know, now with some of the opt-outs. It went up initially. Now it's coming back down a little bit. Like, at some point, maybe UConn is worth buying back. But, yeah, I mean, this is a runner. I mean, this one's really, really taken off here. And, you know, also, I mean, I don't know how much it matters, but at least Army just played a game over the weekend against Navy, whereas UConn won't have played for about a month, yeah. You know, when they get to this one. So it's really, really hard. You talk about motivation, right? I think the motivation angles that you need to think about are how focused these teams are on preparing for the bowl game. Once you get between the lines, like, instinct takes over, right? You're an athlete. You've played at a high level your whole life. You're going to go out there and play, right? Like, it's just going to happen. You're just going to take over. You know, you're just going to basically be on like autopilot, right? And you're going to take over and, you know, be involved in the game. But the lead up, are you staying in shape? Are you paying attention to film study? You know, are you, you know, there for voluntary workouts and stuff like that during exam weeks and everything? Like, how invested are you in the lead up to the game? And I think that's something you really do worry about, you know, with UConn here, especially without their head coach, whereas Army's not allowed to do that. You know, being a service academy. So, yeah, it's interesting to see both games, you know, with service academies really running because, again, it's very, very hard for them to transfer out.
Well, and you also have to remember, too, like preparing for the triple option, it's not fun, right? Mm-hmm. It's a challenge, and you have to be incredibly disciplined, and you've got a defensive-minded head coach that has left the program. And you make a good point, too. They didn't even play the final week of the season. Their regular season actually ended before Thanksgiving. So this is a football team that will have not have played in a month there for UConn. And you know, we've talked about UConn a bunch on this podcast. They were a best bet for me against Duke. That was their Super Bowl. They won the game. They beat two Power Four teams this year. So, you know, once again, I know bowl season has started, so the confidence pools at ESPN.com or whatever are probably gone. But if you're in a pool at work or whatever, I would put a lot of confidence on Army winning this game. I don't know, laying 8.5, though. That's the worry. A couple other notes just before we look at the games this week, Adam. One of the games that I've mentioned on the podcast, and this is more risky, but you know, the goal is to try to beat the market, right? So on that same day, December 27th, we do have the New Mexico Bowl. And right now, North Texas and San Diego State, North Texas is a 3.5-point favorite pretty much market wide. I've bet San Diego State more on the anticipation that Drew Mestemaker is not going to play in this game. Now, it has not been reported yet. Maybe he'll play. Look, you could be in the portal and still play. That's allowed. So maybe he wants to finish out what he started at North Texas and, you know, give them some love for, you know, giving him the opportunity. And I certainly wouldn't fault him for that. But knowing that Eric Morris, his head coach, has moved on to Oklahoma State, knowing the amount of money that these quarterbacks get in the portal, I find it hard to believe that Drew Mestemaker is going to play in this game. So I would take San Diego State 3.5. That number's still out there. I don't love this San Diego State State team offensively. And, you know, keep in mind, they did lose. San Diego State lost their defensive coordinator. He's going to Nebraska, so they're going to have their passing game coordinator, I believe, serve as a DC on an interim role. But if you've got a pretty stingy defense like San Diego State has, even without their D coordinator, going up against an offense that may not have the engine, I think 3.5 for San Diego State is worth a little bit of a play based off of the likelihood in this day and age that Drew Mestemaker probably wouldn't play in this game.
I mean, I have this game lined at 3 regardless. So, you know, I mean, there's no line equity at this point in time. I mean, look, I think there's a couple of things to consider here too, right? San Diego State just lost in this venue to New Mexico to finish out the regular season. And you know, Albuquerque's got a little bit of elevation, which San Diego State is much more accustomed to playing in the Mountain West. So those are all things that, you know, like I talked about, how much are you preparing for the bowl game? Are you, you know, staying in shape? Are you, you know, doing the things that you need to do to, you know, keep your body at peak performance where you are going through exam weeks? You got a bunch of downtime now. You're probably sitting on the couch playing video games, eating junk food, stuff like that. So like, that could be a problem when you talk about a bowl game being played in elevation. The other thing here is it's not just Mestemaker, right? They have a 1,200-yard rusher in Caleb Hawkins and a 1,200-yard receiver in Wyatt Young. Hawkins had 23 rushing touchdowns this year. Young had 10 receiving touchdowns. Those are two guys that can go get themselves a bag somewhere else, whether it's at Oklahoma State or somewhere else. And Hawkins is a freshman. Young is a sophomore. So, like, these are guys that can position themselves pretty well, you know, at a young age to go out there and get some money in that bank account. So, yeah, I mean, this is one where it feels like it's just kind of a matter of time before that happens. And, you know, I'm a little bit surprised. We saw a little bit of speculative money on that early on where North Texas did open a bigger favorite and then it kind of got bet down a little bit. But I agree with you. And again, honestly, like, just some of the other situational factors in this game, like San Diego State's just accustomed to the environment, accustomed to the elevation, stuff like that. Even if you don't get a rash of opt-outs from North Texas, I don't think that San Diego State plus 3.5 is that bad of a play on its own anyway.
All right, Adam, let's transition to the games this week. And of course, you could read about them over on vsin.com. We'll go in chronological order. We have the Salute to Veterans Bowl, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, Jacksonville State the CUSA champion against Troy. The expectation is that Goose Crowder, the starting quarterback for Troy, likely out for this game. I don't know if that's official yet, but he did get hurt against James Madison in the Sun Belt Championship. Right now, total 49.5. We'll call it 2 right now for this game. Troy, a slight favorite.
Yeah, actually, just to correct you there, Jacksonville State lost to Kennesaw State in the Conference USA Championship game. So you actually have two teams coming off of conference title game losses, which I think when you talk about motivation and you have the ability to end your season with a win, even though you fell short of the goal that you had, you know, being in one of these, the small group of five conferences, I think both these teams will be sufficiently motivated. I did see that Crowder was practicing.
Okay.
So I think the expectation is that he'll be able to go. I don't think that there's really a huge difference, to be honest with you, between Goose Crowder and Tucker Kilcrease, although the market does. Because when Crowder got hurt during the regular season, there's a pretty significant power rating adjustment to the Trojans. And I thought it was probably a little bit too much. So, you know, we'll see what happens if he is able to go in this game. But I'll say this, man. Last year, Jacksonville State, third in rushing yards per game, more than 250, led the nation in rushing touchdowns with 51. Then Tyler Huff ran out of eligibility. Rich Rod went back to West Virginia. So I and many others were thinking, okay, this Jacksonville State team, they're going to take a step back here, right? Well, they haven't. They're fourth in rushing yards per game this season, so they're pretty much right there. They do have 20 fewer rushing touchdowns, though, so that's really the big difference from last year to this year. But I like Caden Creel. I like their mobile quarterback. I like Jacksonville State in this game. I think their ability to run the football is such a huge advantage. Also, Troy got sacked the most of any team in college football this year. Jacksonville State's going to have the chance here to get after the quarterback, whereas Gamecocks are just going to run it all day long. So I actually like Jacksonville State in this game, plus the 2.5 that's out there.
That's on Tuesday night. Wednesday, we've got a doubleheader starting at 5 Eastern, Old Dominion in South Florida. We talked earlier in the podcast of lines moving this morning. Well, we've seen some line move here as the 3.5s all got scooped up. This was a bigger line earlier in the bowl season with the Byron Brown expectation that he would play. Well, he is not going to play for South Florida. I think from a motivational standpoint, Old Dominion is definitely the side. I did take a little 3.5 here. Look, South Florida is a better football team, but you were talking about a team, Adam, that was ranked in the top 25 of the college football playoff, got to see themselves in that bracket, and now they're playing in the Cure Bowl on December 17th. Old Dominion, Ricky Ronnie's not going anywhere. Their head coach, he signed an extension. They will not have their starting quarterback. Colton Joseph is out. He is sitting out. He's going into the transfer portal, but they've had plenty of time to prepare for that. I think Old Dominion maybe worth a little bit of a look here as an underdog. I know you're not getting the best of the number. I took some 3.5 at them, but I also did take a little money line. I think Old Dominion certainly is going to be the more motivated team in this spot on Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, too. I mean, you know, Colton Joseph, 1,000-yard rusher, 2,600 passing yards. I'm going to be curious to see where he lands in the transfer portal because, you know, he could wind up really upgrading the quarterback position for some team here, you know, whenever he decides where he's going to go. But Quinn Hennickel was also in that same 2023 class, and he's a guy that, like I said earlier on in the show, was recruited to Army. Bowling Green also made him an offer, and then several other FCS programs. But he's a guy that can run. And Gaston Moore, the backup quarterback for South Florida, is basically just a guy who followed Alex Golish around throughout his various stops and a guy who's never really played all that much. So I think at least Hennickel, he only has one start to his name, and he got it last season. But I think that he really fits what Ricky Ronnie in this offense wants to do, whereas Gaston Moore is not the dual threat type of guy that Byron Brown is. So I agree with this line move. I agree with this line coming down. I, too, took Old Dominion plus 3.5 and sprinkled the money line. Honestly, I still think it's maybe worth it, especially because, like you said, from a motivation standpoint, like South Florida had a chance at the college football playoff, and now they play a bowl game where they don't even leave the state. Like, it's just, there's nothing exciting about it for them. So, yeah, I agree with this line move, and I wouldn't be shocked if we keep going to the point where maybe Old Dominion goes off as a favorite by kickoff on Wednesday.
Yeah, and you also wonder, too, as we get closer to game time, if we magically find out about a couple more injuries from South Florida, you know, that it's a complete overhaul at the coaching position. A lot of these players are hoping maybe to go to Auburn with Alex Golish. Their offensive coordinator also left, and he's not coaching in this game. So from a stability standpoint, certainly Old Dominion feeling a little bit more stable outside of their quarterback being out of this game. The 68 Ventures Bowl will be later on Wednesday night, 8:30 on ESPN. Right now, Delaware taking on Louisiana, and Louisiana, the Ragin' Cajuns, around a 3-point favorite. This line hasn't moved a ton. We've seen some over money come in. Excited to see Delaware in a bowl game. Those rules are so ridiculous that these transitional teams can't get to play in bowl games. Well, with you know, opt-outs and whatnot, Delaware gets an opportunity here. So Blue Hens catching 3 against UL Lafayette.
Yeah, I don't really have much on this game. Both these teams 6-6, so there is some incentive to, you know, finish the season with a win and have a winning season, especially for Delaware, you know, playing their first year in FBS. I think there's a live betting opportunity in this game, maybe, where Louisiana wants to run the football. That's what they're going to do. And Delaware really struggled against the run in the final month of the season. They gave up 13 rushing touchdowns in their 4 games in November. This is one of the problems with teams coming from FCS to FBS. They're just not deep, right? They don't have the same number of scholarships at that level. They don't have the same amount of Division I-A talent that some of these established programs have in FBS. So I think Delaware got a little bit run down late in the season. Obviously, some extra rest, you know, going into this game, so maybe they'll be a little bit better. But I think maybe you could look to live bet Louisiana. If they're finding success running the football, they could probably just kind of lean on Delaware throughout this game. I gave a pick in the preview over at vsin.com. Not necessarily a strong play here, but I would lean towards the Louisiana side over the Delaware side.
All right, let's get to games on Thursday. Welcome to the bowl season, the Xbox Bowl. This game will be played at the Star Complex there in Arlington, Texas. So the practice facility for the Dallas Cowboys. We've got Missouri State and Arkansas State. Missouri State, another one of those FBS transitional teams who gets into the bowl game. Worth noting here, this might be the most important thing. Ryan Beard, the head coach of Missouri State, is leaving or has left. He is going to be the Coastal Carolina coach. So we've seen a little bit of line movement in this game. Arkansas State, an ever so slight favorite on Thursday night in the Xbox Bowl.
Yeah, that was something that I missed. I missed Ryan Beard getting hired by Coastal Carolina. So, you know, we have seen this line come down a little bit. Interestingly enough, money coming in on Missouri State, despite not having their head coach here in this game. I got to say, one thing that kind of stands out to me about this game, I can't believe that Jalen Rayner has stuck around at Arkansas State. Like, good for him. You know, I mean, I don't know how much money they have down there in Jonesboro, but good for him for hanging around, right? I mean, he's a guy that's, you know, true, legitimate dual threat type of quarterback, could go out there and get a bag somewhere else, but kudos to him for sticking around, and seems like he's sticking around, you know, now as well. You know, still has some eligibility left, but I mean, who knows? Maybe we find out Thursday morning that he's opting out. Who knows? But yeah, this was another game that I didn't really have a very strong opinion on. And again, especially, you know, with the coaching change there at Missouri State, where it's tough, right? You know, you get these guys that steward these transitions from FCS to FBS, and then boom, all of a sudden they're gone, you know, like what we're seeing here for Missouri State. So, I lean Arkansas State very, very, very slightly. Missouri State allowed the third most sacks in the country because they do like to throw the football a lot. So maybe Arkansas State creates some negative plays that way, but lean Arkansas State, but nothing strong in that game at all.
Kind of a fun one on Friday. I already misspoke, not giving the full credit to Kennesaw State for their triumph in the CUSA. We've got two conference champions going head-to-head, which is kind of fun to see. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, 11 a.m. on Friday, Kennesaw State against Western Michigan. Western Michigan winning the MAC, Kennesaw State winning the CUSA. So I do like when we're able to get, you know, these types of matchups. And both of these coaches, looks like they'll be returning next year at their respective institutions. Western Michigan, a slight favorite here at around 3.5 against Kennesaw State. No real notes of transfer portaling as of yet in this game.
Yeah, so I will say this. This is one of the biggest discrepancies between my lines and the lines we have for the bowl season here. I have Kennesaw State a one-point favorite in this game. So I do like Kennesaw State in this one. Kind of like the over as well. Both of these teams have very, very mobile quarterbacks. And so, you know, when you're talking about bowl games and, again, that preparation and all of that, not only are guys not really as focused as they normally would be, but also when you have mobile quarterbacks that can do things when, you know, plays break down and all of that, like, it just makes so much of a difference, you know, in the bowl season. So both of these guys can run around a little bit. An incredible first-year job by Jerry Mack at Kennesaw State. After everything that happened with this team last year, they were a 2-10 football team. This year, they won their conference title. I think they're pretty good. I think Amari Odom, their quarterback's pretty good, too. So I like Kennesaw State, you know, plus the 3.5. Anytime you like a dog in the bowl season, probably worth sprinkling the money line just because these are kind of higher variance games. But I like the dog and the over in this one.
All right, last one we'll hit on here in the bowl games before the playoff. We got Memphis and NC State, the Gasparilla Bowl down in Tampa. This game will be played in the Buck Stadium. NC State around a 5.5, 6-point favorite. Ryan Silverfield is leaving to go to Arkansas. By the way, terrible hire in my opinion by Arkansas, but I digress. NC State, a decent-sized favorite. They do have some NFL talent on that roster, and I don't know if they'll be playing in this game. You look at Hollywood Smothers, the running back for NC State, I would imagine probably sits this one out. So just keep an eye on NC State, whether or not they have some opt-outs there in this game. But man, it would be hard for me to back Memphis in this one. Another situation, Adam, where you're looking at a team that was very much in the thick of it to make the college football playoff, and now they're playing in the Gasparilla Bowl on the day of the college football playoff at 2:30 in the afternoon. So not really a racing delay, 5.5, 6 with NC State, but it would be Wolfpack or pass for me in this spot.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Defensive backs coach Reggie Howard, the interim head coach here for Memphis. And, you know, interim head coaches are always tough to figure out because sometimes the players love those guys, yep, so they will go out there and play for them, but it's kind of hard to know that unless you're sort of around the program or, you know, maybe read something about that. I will say I think that Charles Huff's a damn good hire going forward. They certainly upgraded. But for NC State, I don't think it's a guarantee that CJ Bailey, their quarterback, plays in this game because he's a guy who could be pretty sought after in the portal. If he ends up opting out, this line's going to plummet. So this is a really, really tough game to kind of sink your teeth into now at this point in time. To this point, I haven't seen anything that says that Bailey's going in the portal, but it's kind of been rumored on social media that he would be a pretty attractive guy if he goes portaling. So we'll see. But yeah, this is a very, very hard game to bet, I think, all the way around.
We will continue to break these bowl games down. Wes Reynolds will join me on Wednesday. We'll get his thoughts on some games in between the 22nd and the 27th. Those games, 27th, a big bowl day. So we'll get Adam back on the 23rd. We'll talk about some of those bowl games. But we'll continue to get these thoughts out there, and hopefully we don't get burned too much. I mean, you know, Adam, that's, I want to say in air quotes, the beauty of bowl season is, look, there are going to be times where you have enormous CLV. You know, case in point, Army on the money line is now right minus 280 or something like that. But you also get burned. You know, what if Drew Mestemaker plays? I'll look like a dope. But I think, you know, for me, one bettable game right now would be San Diego State plus the 3.5. That's just to your point. I think San Diego State, even with Mestemaker playing, could be live in that game. But if Mestemaker and others are out, I think San Diego State should take care of business, and you'll get some line value there. So should be. It's always fun to keep track of all of these, and you'll be doing your best on VSiN.com.
Yeah, like I said, we're aiming for 72-hour lead time in advance of these bowl games. But, you know, again, obviously there's just a ton of moving parts. But, you know, hey, if we are able to keep the 72-hour thing, I mean, read it as quickly as you can, because maybe you will get some line value, some good line equity on the sides that we like. And again, that college football playoff betting guide for $14.99, VSiN.com/CFP. Ken, if you don't want to subscribe to VSiN.com, I don't know why you don't want to, but I get it. Like I said, people have all kinds of subscriptions to all kinds of different things, but You can get that guide as a standalone product for $14.99, and it's a pretty good way to see what we're all about over there at vsin.com.
It's going to be a normal week on the podcast. As mentioned, we will have Wes Reynolds. Brett Ciancia has been out of the country, so we'll see if Brett is back for his Wednesday visit. Matt Eumanns later on this week. And then Christmas week will be a little bit wacky. I'll be out and about doing some bowl games, but Adam and I will do a podcast right around Christmas Eve. So, I don't know what Santa's going to be bringing you guys, but a VSiN College Football Betting Podcast episode on Christmas Eve sounds pretty tantalizing to me. All right, that's going to do it for our podcast today. Thanks to Adam. Thanks to Ryan Hunter and Wyatt Tomchek, the producers of this podcast. We'll be back later this week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.